Welcome to the Medical Travel Show with your hosts, Elizabeth Sayemba and Irving Stackpole.
Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, a forum for ideas and discussions with thought leaders from the world of medical travel. This is Irving Stackpole, and I'm here today in the studio alone because my partner, Elizabeth Sayemba, is on her way to Guilin, China, to deliver a keynote address at a medical travel forum. We are very fortunate today to have Dr. Claudia Mika with us. Dr. Mika is the founder and CEO of Timos International, a German-based independent certification body that was established in 2010 as a spin-off of a German governmental research organization as a result of a research project funded by EU. Due to the Timos quality certifications of internationally oriented medical institutions and supported by Dr. Mika's consulting work for the implementation of international patients departments in medical facilities all over the world, she is very well grounded in medical tourism topics. She has been working with more than 150 hospitals and medical organizations worldwide, from Brazil to the Philippines. Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, Dr. Mika.
Thank you very much, and a very good morning to everybody.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted to have you here and to give us the opportunity to explore the issue of medical travel and certification in the medical travel space. But before that, I'm sure our audience would be interested in how you personally, Claudia, how you found your way into the realm of or the markets of medical travel.
Actually, it started not with medical tourism, but with international patients who were in emergency situations. So more than 10 years ago, we started a scientific research project at the governmental research organization where I was working for. And together with different insurances and assistance companies, we defined quality criteria for optimal treatment of international emergency patients, the customers and clients of these health insurances and assistance companies. So, and after we had defined and developed the quality criteria for those patients, the next step into medical tourism was so close, so then we further developed our quality systems also for international patients involved in medical travel.
Fascinating. So you came at the domain of medical travel through issues around standards and quality in emergency medical services. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. This is how it started more than 10 years ago. Yes, why are these emergency international patients?
Mm-hmm. And in the development of these standards, did you find that there were opportunities to expand them to other realms other than, say, urgent medical care?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the process of international patients is more or less the same. So if we have an emergency patient, we have the start of the process in the emergency unit. And then we have to process the patient during the treatment on site. And, of course, we have to follow up after discharge. And for medical travelers, it all starts a bit earlier. So we have to extend the process for the period when the patients want to get treatment abroad and want to decide where to go. So this is then what we included in our quality programs and the standards we developed. So it's very close because in the end, an international patient is a patient who needs medical support, but the processing is a bit different. So it was very nearby to further develop and expand the existing standards we developed with the insurances before.
Fascinating. So the process of your evaluation of the standards of care go farther or further upstream. You actually consider the circumstances surrounding the decision process, of the patient or the consumer. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, this is also included in our processes. So it's so important that before you even decide where to go, you need to have a good patient experience, how we call it. So, and if hospitals and clinics do not respond, for example, in time, if they do not provide a cost estimation, a treatment planning before I decide as a patient, I as a hospital will lose the patient as a client. So therefore, from this perspective, it's crucial to have this also mirrored by the quality management system I have as a hospital or a clinic.
What a good point. Some of the research I've looked at suggests that one of the complaints that medical travelers have after the fact is surprises in their bill.
Yeah.
Are there other standards in the process of preparing for medical travel that the TMOS certification criteria assess?
You mean during the whole process or especially before patients decide where to travel?
I'm thinking especially deciding in the decision process itself.
Yeah, it's the communication itself. So if the patient can communicate in a language understood by him or herself is crucial. So if I am at Thai hospital and I'm not able to communicate in English or in the language of the patient, I will lose the patient. Mm. So then it's question of timing, as I said before. So how fast do I respond to the inquiry of the patient? Which kind of documents do I request to be able to prepare the treatment plan and the cost estimation? Am I available for an exchange with the home physician of the patient? These are all factors we ask for, which are crucial for the decision making, even before I start my travel.
Those are all very well taken points. And in fact, the research I've reviewed in the United States and in Western Europe shows that indeed communication is at the core of many issues or concerns or complaints that medical consumers have. What other issues, what other factors did you transfer into medical travel when you looked to make the connection or the benchmarks between emergency medical care and voluntary or choice-based medical care?
I mean, if we talk about emergency management, there is no decision making. So I just need medical support and I try to get the best possible treatment in my situation. So there is no choice.
Right.
But independent or other than this, on site, it's nearly the same. So if we compare emergency patients with medical travelers, they have the same needs on site, and they have the same needs when they go home. So follow up after discharge, as I mentioned before, communication, medical quality, this is the same for those patients, independent if it's medical traveler or an emergency patient.
That's a point well taken. Often I hear, and I don't know if there's actual data on this, but often I hear that medical travelers are frequently accompanied by family members or close relatives or friends. Do your criteria look toward that population and how the provider of health services addresses their needs?
Yeah, definitely. So we are talking about typically non-clinical services, and they do not only cover the patients themselves, but also the accompanying relatives or friends, as you said. So we ask for if the hospital clinic is able to provide an accommodation, either inside, as some of the big hospitals do offer. They have hotels inside for relatives, or outside nearby. So also regarding meals, so if the hospitals provide a meal for the accompanying person, how they do communicate if the patient, him or herself, is not able to communicate, let's say, after surgery. So, we have to include the relatives and friends who are accompanying the patient because they are crucial also for the recovery, for everything. Yeah.
These are points that I'm sure every provider and every patient would completely understand and appreciate. What in the after period, in the recovery period, are there standards that the TMOS certification requirements address?
We focus, for example, on the discharge policy. So every hospital should have a discharge policy for all its patients. But when we come to international patients, it's even a bit more, or it could be a bit more complicated. So the discharge policy should cover, for example, in case of there are any complications, which can always happen. So what is going to be organized for the patient? For example, there is a postponement of the flight. So how to deal with these things, mm-hmm. How to organize the follow-up. So if rehabilitation services are needed, are they going to be organized in the country, in the destination where the treatment took place, or is it organized in the patient's home country? So then communication and organization has to take place before the patient even leaves the hospital again and before he's getting back home. Communication with the home physician, with social services, depending on where the patient is getting further treatment. And also not only communication here, but also documentation is crucial. So imagine that the hospital has a very good treatment, and then they do not document anything. Mm. So the patient doesn't get anything with him or her getting home. So how can the home physician continue the great work of the hospital if he or she doesn't know what happened? So we really need information about what has been done, what about nutritional requirements, what about rehabilitation, physiotherapy, what about medication. And medication is not only the name in the country where the treatment took place, it is the generic name, so that we can assure that the administration of medication can be continued at home. These are all crucial points which in cross-border care makes it a bit more difficult. But if we know about what we're talking, we can organize everything in a proper way so to assure that the 360 degrees patient care cycle, as we call it, the continuum of care can be really realized in the optimal way.
All of those are extraordinarily good points, and I'm sure our audience will identify with many of them. One of the issues that arises in your mentioning documents and documentation, do your standards in the TMOS international certification process, do they address data security and privacy issues?
Yes, definitely. We have a lot of standards regarding this. And you might know that within the European Union, in I think 23rd of May 2018, we have new regulations, and all hospitals and all people who want to deal with European Union people need to follow these new regulations. So we are currently also updating our standards in this direction, and it's crucial. TMOS International is a German-based company, so we are very picky with data security and confidentiality, and yes, a lot of standards in our requirements do cover this. Yeah.
Well, any consumers, patients, families, or any providers who are any organizations considering doing any work in the EU should probably be in touch with you, Claudia, to explore how these new and, as I understand it, very stringent regulations will apply to them.
Yeah, of course. They are all invited. I know that within the European Union, hospitals and clinics are preparing now because it's really, really tough, the new regulations. And, we all don't know how it is really realized in the end, mm-hmm. but the regulations are there and we have to follow them. And as you said, it applies to everybody who wants to deal with the European Union companies. Yeah.
One of the things that I notice is that as I travel through Europe, many people are wearing smartwatches, Garmin's and iWatches, I guess, the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. When those devices are equipped with biometrics, that data gets transmitted, I assume, and sent somewhere. Do we know where that data goes?
Perhaps yes, perhaps not. It depends on where they are stored. So, again, if as far as I know, but I'm dealing with these topics, but I'm not the expert at all. So I have to apologize, but as far as I know, if the data are going to server within the European Union, then they should be rather safe. For example, all our data and our database and everything what we have, our customer relationship management system, we always look for, or we assure that the servers are located even in Germany. So German regulations, German laws apply to protect and secure the data. We never send or we never book any other service space outside Germany. So, but if you use any device, as you said, to be honest, I don't know. It might be that you cannot trace them and that you don't know what's happening with them.
It's an extraordinarily challenging area, and I'm sorry for putting you on the spot. I think you handled the question as gracefully as, as anyone could.
I just said I apologize if I'm wrong, so the audience might know it better. But this is, as far as I know, this is how it is handled, and where we can assure, at least as a German company with German service, and outside, we don't know, also for the future. And I'm very sure that there are many companies who can bypass and find solutions not to follow the regulations.
Right.
And we should avoid operating with them, of course.
Exactly. You don't want to be flying in the dark. So
as
a fan and proponent of the development of standards and certification in the international medical travel sector, and I too am a proponent of this, I hope that you will share with our audience your perspectives on the future of certification in the international medical travel space. It's certainly a young field, and I'm wondering what your long view on this is.
I am representing a certification body. Of course, I have only good words for this kind of business. No, just kidding. So I think as patients nowadays are already aware of the treatment they expect by asking Dr. Google and co. before approaching hospitals and clinics, patients will also look in the future, they will look for certification accreditation of hospitals and clinics. So I think the market will be divided in those who go for international qualification like certification accreditation and quality seals, and those who cannot give the evidence by third parties that they follow the international understanding for quality management, patient safety, and how to deal with patient experience, they will lose in the long term. This is, I'm convinced that it will be like this. It's not only that patients are looking for it, it's also that the hospitals and clinics will do or should benefit from those systems they apply for and for the quality programs they apply for. So it's both sides should see the win-win, the patients by seeing trustful quality seals and certificates, and on the other side, the hospitals who are going for those systems really benefiting from many different points of view. So in the end, that we bring those together who look for high quality.
It certainly
That's
makes,
my personal view.
Yes, and it certainly makes a lot of sense as you look down the road that there will be, as the medical travel market becomes more mainstream, that the standardization certification of providers will become more regular and become more mainstream. I'm wondering, there was last year and the year before, there were some very high-profile issues around certain travel agents or medical travel facilitators who got themselves into some legal trouble by some practices which, on the surface, didn't appear to be quite ethical or legal. Is there an opportunity, do you think, for individuals and organizations that want to facilitate or act as an agent for them to become TMOS certified as well?
Yes, definitely. So 2 years ago, we started what we call the Quality in International Medical Travel Coordination Program. And we developed it because some of the facilitators, they wanted to separate themselves from those you just mentioned. So they approached us and said, Claudia, can Temos develop a quality system also for facilitators? And together with those good ones, let's say, we developed quality criteria, which we then put into a certification system. So it's available, and we see that, first of all, it's really well accepted by the market, and we really could find excellent medical travel coordinators who do a great job and supporting patient safety, have an ethical background, also acting in a legal way. So they are existing, and we are more than happy to certify those excellent facilitator companies.
Great. So in wrapping up, what do you think are the two major benefits to providers that providers derive from obtaining, going through the process of and obtaining a certification such as Temos International?
I have my personal view, but this is quality-based. So let me give you the feedback, the evidence from our clients and customers, which we call certified partners. And they said that patient referrals increased, and for some tremendously, because they could improve and optimize their services. So, and this was realized and recognized by patients. So patient referrals is one point. And with this, since we can also decrease costs and increase revenues, in the end, they have more money than they had before, even by investing in a quality management system. This is what we got as a feedback, of course, which makes us very happy.
These are very compelling benefits, which I'm sure many providers will find attractive. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Mika, for joining us for a very detailed but an extraordinarily insightful conversation. Please share with our audience how they can reach you.
First of all, thank you very much for the exchange today. It was a great pleasure. And for all who want to approach us, we have a website which is called temos-international.com. And we are on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and my personal name is Claudia Mika, so you find me in the internet and Temos International, as I said, on the website as well. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Dr. Mika, for this conversation. Thank you, audience, for listening. This is Irving Stackpole. You have been listening to The Medical Travel Show. To hear more interviews, please visit our website, www.themedicaltravelshow.com. If you'd like to be a guest on The Medical Travel Show, please contact us through The Medical Travel Show website. Until the next time, thanks for listening.